Hello and welcome to our program today. We're going to be studying in the little book of Jude. The purpose of the book of Jude is to be contending for the faith. We'll read the first 17 verses of this chapter. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, now here's where it changes here, but, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for 16 verses, it's been all bad news, kind of stuff you really don't want to read about. But if you're going to understand apostasy, then we have to understand what apostasy is and who are the apostates. But, it says here, beloved, and he puts his attention for the rest of this chapter on how we can have the victory in an age of apostasy. Now, in every portion of Scripture we look at, you'll find a key that will help you understand. And in this little book, the key is found in verse number 3, where he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so the focus here is that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Now, it doesn't say contend against the apostasy. It says contend for the faith. And if we're going to look at the subject of apostasy, we need to understand what apostasy is. Now, to understand something is to achieve the intended meaning of something. And we need to know what is an apostate according to the scriptures. We need to know how does one become an apostate. Who are today's apostates, and how can I avoid becoming an apostate? Now, understanding, we said, is to achieve the intended meaning of something. We need to know the meaning, for instance, of what does it mean when he says to contend for the faith? What does it mean to contend? It says, all diligence. I'm to give all diligence. Exactly what does that mean? And what is he talking about when he's talking about the common salvation? Now, we need to know what an apostate is according to the scriptures, and we need to know what does one need to do to become an apostate. Where is the line? Where, okay, today this man is not an apostate, but the next day he is. Where's that line? What does one need to do to become an apostate? And that needs to be according to the scriptures. There will be, and there is, all kinds of things that are available talking about the subject of apostasy, and they differ. Now, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, there isn't five different truths about apostasy. There's only one. So what we need to do is to determine according to the scriptures, what does one need to do to become an apostate? How does one become an apostate? By what means or course of action is he now considered to be an apostate? Are they unsaved religious leaders, or does it include Christians? Now, also, the main purpose here in Jude writing this little book is to help us to avoid becoming an apostate. He said in verse 17, but, beloved. Again, in verse number 20, he said, but ye, beloved. Now, the word but is used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned. And so he's mentioning, he talks about three different groups of apostates. He talks about three different individuals of apostates. He makes it very plain what they are and what they do. The who, what, the when, where, and why of apostasy is all dealt with in this little book of Jude. But, he said, you need to be in contrast with what we have just been talking about. Now, to be in contrasting to something is the action of calling attention to noticeable differences. And we need to understand what they are. Now, it's only possible with a scriptural understanding of the subject of apostasy to be able to be in contrast with what apostasy really is. Now, we read in 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, which is talking about the Antichrist. So it says there's going to be a falling away. Apostasy, number one, is a falling away. We need to get that in our mind. What is falling? Falling is moving downward without control from a higher level to a lower level. The Bible talks about falling, and it talks about those who fell. For instance, Paul the Apostle said, I fell to the ground. He didn't say I was falling to the ground. He said I fell. He flattened his face on the ground. And so the Bible and Jude here in this little book in verse 24 is talking about, well, let's read it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Falling is moving downward without control from a higher to a lower level. Therefore, apostasy is not a position. Apostasy is a process. And there's a big difference here. A position is a place where someone or something is located. A process is a series of steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Therefore, an apostate is not someone who fell. An apostate is someone who is falling. And so we see in this little picture here, we've got one man going up the steps. We got everybody else going down the steps. The one going up is earnestly contending for the faith. He is taking a series of steps in order to achieve a particular end. And so are all those other ones who are going down the steps to achieve a particular end. And so it's very important to understand that an apostate is not someone who fell. An apostate is someone who is falling or is taking a series of steps in order to achieve a particular end. Apostasy is a falling away. Jude said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." And so what we need to do is keep in mind that falling is moving downward without control from a higher level to a lower level. Now, when it talks about without control, it's talking about the control of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This is extremely important. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. Someone says, "Well, the Holy Spirit just told me to do this." Well, he didn't tell you to do it if you can't find a chapter and verse in the Bible that says he told you to do it. Or you just read the Bible and you can take verses out of context. It's called proof texting. This is what I believe. Oh, here's a verse over here that proves what I think is right. And we put that all out of context. No, we have to take the Word of God, invite the Holy Spirit to teach us. The Bible says, when he has come, he will guide us into all truth. There isn't 10 different truths. There's only one truth. Whether we're talking about apostasy, whether we're talking about standards, whether we're talking about music, whether we're talking about dress standards, whether we're talking about separation, there's one truth. And the Bible says, and Jesus said it, that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, falling is moving downward without the control of the Holy Spirit guiding us in the Word of God. Therefore, we're going to move from a higher to a lower level. So, the Bible talks about falling, but it says a lot about standing. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 14. Able to stand. We need to have the helmet. We need to have the breastplate. We need to have the belt, the shield. We need the shoes, and then we will be able to stand. Finally, my brother, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul often said, finally, to the Corinthians, he said, live in peace. To the Ephesians, he said, be strong. Finally, Philippians, rejoice and think on these things. 2 Thessalonians, finally, he said, you need to pray. 1 Peter, be of one mind. Put on the whole armor of God. Be strong, that phrase is found in the Bible 36 times. The phrase be able is found another 49 times. And so he said, be able to judge. There's a good one right there. We need to understand what that's all about. Someone says, go judge not that you be not judged. That needs to be taken in its context. The Bible says in the same chapter, judge righteous judgment. And then in 2 Timothy, he said we need to be able to teach, we need to be able to exhort, in Titus and 2 Peter, we need to be able to remember. A lot of things we need to be able to do. But here in the book of Jude, he's talking about being able to stand against the principalities, the powers, the rulers, the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to be able to stand. And so Jude has given us a description of what apostasy is so we can understand what we need to do in order to take the stand we need to do and be able to stand against these spiritual wickedness, these things mentioned here in verse number 12. We need to be able to stand. And we can be if we'll just do what this book says to do. And so he says, take the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. Stand there, he says, with your loins girt about with truth. Truth, it's so important. Truth is the belt that holds the other pieces of the armor in place. So he says, you need to have the truth. The truth about salvation is what he's talking about here in the book of Jude when he talks about the common salvation, and we'll look at that in our next program. We need to have righteousness, we need to have faith, we need to have the Holy Spirit in control, and we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He said, stand with the breastplate with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is simply doing what is right. And so he went on to say, and your feet, verse 15, they need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have found that putting on army boots, they're not very fashionable and they are very expensive. I checked on the internet here the other day and found these army boots. They're not very exciting. I don't think I want to wear to church, those things. No, you wear those into battle. And Canadian prices, $769.72 for these ugly boots. Well, we're not sitting around a recreation room. The Christian life is a battle. Get your army boots on, but keep in mind, they're very expensive. If you're going to stand in this age of apostasy, it's going to cost you something. He said, with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation is simply being made ready for use. And so we see in our little diagram here, we got Jude saying, hey, you're going to have to go against the current here. You're going to have to go an uphill battle, and everybody else is coming down. That's where we are in this age of apostasy. But God does have a remnant, and that's who this book is written to, and telling us how we need to walk. Now, if you see the little diagram there, there's Jude. He's saying we got to go uphill. First thing he does is get a clout right on the head. Look at that guy pounding him. That's what's going to happen. If you're going to stand for the truth in this age of apostasy, it's very expensive. So we need the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shield, the sword, putting on the shoes so that we may be able to stand, and above all, taking the shield of faith that we might be able to stand, put on the whole armor of God, be able to withstand in the evil day, stand having on the truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Truth, again, truth is the belt that holds the other pieces of armor in place. We have to have the truth. The breastplate is that part that shields the heart and other vital organs. The Bible says in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, feet shod with the preparation, what are we doing? We need to be marching into the battle, and the battle that he's talking about here is to be able to contend for the faith. He says that we can stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. In Malachi 3:18, it says, then shall ye return and discern. Get that, return and discern. What? Between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Ezekiel put it this way, and they shall teach, that is, pastors shall teach my people, and parents, especially the fathers, and ye fathers, it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What are we supposed to teach? Teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Therefore, they will, if we do that, they will be able to stand. However, today, they're not much interest in that. The way is like this little cartoon here. Let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues. And what that is exactly how we can lose the next generation. And so we'll be looking in our next program. We'll look at verse number 1 in this little book of Jude on how we are to earnestly contend for the faith.